Okay, a few of you probably know that I play golf. Not very well. Matt is my friend. He's from. We play golf occasionally. I think I won last time, so. But anyway. Now, when you go to play golf, a round of 18 holes takes about 4 hours. And you need to be prepared. Firstly, you need to be prepared for the weather. Okay, it looks sunny now, but who knows what could happen. You could have hail, you have all sorts. So you need to be prepared with the right clothing. I try to hit the golf ball down the middle, but it doesn't always happen. So I make sure I have got plenty of golf balls. I make sure that I don't run out. Tees and all those other things. There is a lot that you need to take. You need to be prepared. And water and food. I think golf is almost as much about the food as it is the golf. Okay, you need to make sure you take a good quality food so that you won't be short and you won't be hungry and you collapse in a field somewhere. I won't bore you with the mental side of preparation that goes on as well for days before. But I need to be prepared to go out and play golf. Now, I want you to think, because there's things that you have to be prepared for. For some of you, it's work. You must make sure that you have the right things when you go to work. For some, it's maybe school. You need your school bag. You need to make sure everything's in there. Maybe it's holiday. When you go on holiday, you need to plan, don't you? You don't want to turn up and not have your toothbrush or something that you can't get easily. And if you've got a young child, we'll respect to you for being here, because let's be honest about it, it's very hard. The preparation. But take a moment just to think about that thing that you have to prepare for. And just think about the time that you take to make sure that you have everything you need. And this morning we're going to begin our short series, Be Prepared. And this is where we're going to look at being prepared to share our faith. We're going to read this morning from 1 Peter 3. So if you've got a Bible, you might want to open it from verse 8 onwards. But if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, this sermon and this time together will be an opportunity for you to see how we look to share our faith. I hope from the time we've had in worship this morning, you've got just grasping a little idea of what we believe we have in Jesus, which is better than anything else the world can offer us. So I will share a little bit of that great news of the gospel. But before we read, it's very helpful to know a little bit about this book. This was written by Peter, disciple of Jesus, the keen one, the one who jumped straight into the sea at the earliest opportunity to walk on the water with Jesus. The one who claimed, I will never deny you. And then that same night denied him 3 times. And he wrote this letter to a number of churches who were facing increasing persecution. It was largely in the form of ostracism, which we are aware of in our nation. But this, it wouldn't be long before this turned to something worse. So we're going to read from 1 Peter 3, verse 8 to 17. And it says this, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, and a tender heart and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honour Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect,
having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behaviour in Christ may be put to shame. For it's better for you to suffer for doing good than if that is, should be God's will, than for doing evil. Let's just pray for a second. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can access this. But we can have it on our phones. We can have a Bible. Many of us probably have more than one Bible in our houses. But we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it speaks to every generation, speaks truth, unchanging truth. And we want to ask you this morning, Lord, would you speak to us through your word? And would you prompt us, and would you turn our hearts towards the many who do not know the peace and the hope that we have in you? Lord, would you do a work in our hearts? Lord, would you give us a fresh love for the lost? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I'm not going to pick apart every part of this passage, but I want to draw our attention to three things. And the first is this: living out your faith will lead to opportunities. Verses 8 to 14 speak about godly character and the godly character that we are to show as we live in this world. Verse 8 speaks particularly about godly character within the church, relationships in the church, which are characterized by unity. We're called unity, great. Sympathy, love, tenderness, and humility. So when people come into Unity Church, they should see something of that worked out in our relationships. So the meeting doesn't actually start when Lydia starts playing or whatever happens. The meeting starts as soon as we start together. And we are a witness of something that God has done in our lives. We all have a part to play. And hopefully, if you're a guest with us this morning, you can see some of this at work in the ways people interact with each other. But Peter also addresses the relationships outside of the church. Not repaying evil for evil. Or returning reviling is a strange word, isn't it? Cusses for cusses. Okay, if you've ever worked in a school, you see that that is how it works. You cuss me, I'll cuss you. You cuss my mum, I'll cuss your mum. And it just goes on. It goes on, okay? If you're unaware of that happening in school, that's what happens in school. And he reminds believers to turn away from evil and to seek to do good. Seeking and pursuing peace in our interactions with everybody. Verse 9 speaks of not returning evil for evil, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. Peter highlights that the call of Christians in the world is to bless. The very reason you were called as a Christian and God did a work in your life is so that you can now be a blessing to the world around you. Blessed, we are blessed in order to be a blessing. Amen? And Peter is saying this against the backdrop. This is not just very nice. He's saying it against the backdrop of persecution that was coming. Saying people will do evil to you, but you're called to bless. Now, this doesn't come naturally, does it? A few weeks ago, I took Jack swimming, went up to Biggin Hill, and we got stopped at the traffic lights just by the swimming pool there. I wasn't the first car in the queue. There was a car in front, and the lights turned green. And before you knew it, the car behind me was beeping his horn. Now, I could see the person in front of me was a little bit older. Okay, nothing against older drivers. But they were a little bit older, and they were just a little bit slower in getting started. And I thought to this guy, I thought, give this person a break. You know, I wasn't very happy about it. But I turned the corner, and I was looking for a parking space. And I was probably driving a little bit slower than usual. I can tell you, peace did not arise within me. The only peace that I wanted to give this person was a piece of my mind. And I was very tempted to stop the car in the road and get out and say, I can't believe this. Can you? I've got my child in the car. You beeping old lady, what's wrong with you? But I didn't. I saved myself from making more trouble. But what comes naturally to us is not always blessing, is it? Particularly when we're confronted with something. And we need God's help, don't we? We need God's help. Oh, God, help me not to. But when we live differently from the world around us, it is
stark. It is a stark contrast when we live differently. We've just looked at the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus tells his disciples, you are the light of the world. A light in the darkness. You are the light of the world. When you go into work and people are ostracising someone else because they're a bit different, and you take the time and effort to go and sit with them and to love them and to be kind, or when you're gracious with someone who's more challenging, you are the light of the world. You are showing something of God's kingdom. And when you live differently, you point to the fact that there is a different reality that you're living to. There's a different thing that's motivating you from the world. And that brings opportunities. Why did you talk to that person? Why don't you get angry with them? Why haven't you told them where to go? Because I believe in Jesus. Because I believe something. So when you live differently, it gives you opportunities. And second thing is to be prepared. Verses 14 to 16, it says, but even if you do suffer for righteousness' sake, so you suffered for doing the right thing and following God, you will be blessed. We'll be blessed because of some of the things we've already heard this morning. We're safe and secure in God. But it says, have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your heart, honour Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do this with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behaviour may be put to shame. Peter clearly shows that there's a mixed response to your faith. Some will be hostile, they will slander you. Others will show some interest. And probably, if we're honest, some will say, well, not bothered by what you've got to say. But Peter encourages us to be ready, to be prepared to make an answer for anyone who inquires. So how do we get prepared? The first thing is actively growing in our relationship with God. Verse 15, but in your heart, honour Christ the Lord as holy. Your relationship with God is your first priority. If you're regularly in God's presence and you're reminding yourself of how good he is, it's hard not to share that with people. Don't you feel full of just joy of being in God's presence this morning? Don't you feel like, actually, I want to share this with someone? I want to share it. And Psalm 103, I read this last Sunday, actually, when we started the meeting, but I just felt to be turned to it again this Sunday. So it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. This is David speaking to his soul, reminding his soul, I must bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We heard that this morning, didn't we? Not forgetting his benefits, not looking at the things that you're lacking, but reminding yourself of the blessings. You know, when we do that, God is so good, and we go out in that sense of God's blessing. And then it tells us, who forgives your iniquity, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies your soul, you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And it continues, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. It's just good. When we focus on that relationship with Jesus and we remind ourselves of this great news we have, it sends us out ready to share this news with others. Honouring Christ as holy means putting him first in your life. And it means reading this book. You know, previous generations fought to make this Bible accessible. William Tyndale worked tirelessly to ensure that the Bible was translated into English so that everybody had access. You didn't just turn up on a Sunday and listen to someone preach from a Latin translation. You would have one in your hand. But how many Christians in this nation have reverted back to that and only turn up and only hear the Bible on a Sunday? There are Christians in other nations of the world who would give you almost anything,
possibly body parts, to have a copy of the Bible in their own language. And for many of us, these sit and get dusty. We don't have the time to read the Bible. I want to encourage us. Our relationship with God is so important, and what is in here is so central to what we believe, and it will bring life to you. One of the greatest joys is when you do an Alpha course and you say, look, we're going to look at the Bible. Why don't you go away and read it? And when those who come do, wow, this is so good. This is so good. I love it. And there's a risk that we, as we walk with God for a while, we just forget how good the news is in the Bible. And I want to encourage us in that. And it also means being filled with the Spirit. It's no coincidence that Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and then on the day of Pentecost, after filled with the Holy Spirit, he then went out and preached to a similar crowd, a bigger crowd. We need God, and we need to put him first in our life. The second thing is to be expectant. I like this, watchfulness based in confidence. Verse 15 says, always be prepared. It doesn't say be prepared when you feel good. Be prepared when you're not running late. Always be prepared. We're not expectant. If we're not expectant for an opportunity to share our faith, we will not be prepared. If I don't expect it to rain, I don't get prepared. I forget to pack my coat and I get wet. Also, if we believe that sharing our faith is not our gift and it's someone else, God will give the opportunity to someone else, then we're not going to be expectant. And I want to tell you that there's probably people that you know who probably don't know many other Christians. They might not know any other Christians. You might be the only person in their life who is a Christian, who's following Jesus. And you have an opportunity to share with them. Being expectant is about having faith, not in yourself, but in God. Having faith in God, that he is at work in this world and that he wants to save people and that he will do that. It's being on the lookout. I like meerkats. They're always on the lookout, aren't they? Always ready. Now, we need to be like that. We need to be ready on our hind legs. No, please don't do that because you are going to look strange, okay? Anyone mentions Jesus, you run over. No, please don't do that. But the third thing I want to say is think through your faith journey and practice it. When I was at college, we had to do one of these. I couldn't find my one. But this one's a strange one. But if you think about how you came to faith, and what questions you were wrestling with, and how Jesus answers those things that were deep inside of you that you wanted satisfied, it will help you to share your faith with someone else. If you journey and if your explanation of the gospel is a bit all over the place, you're going to find it hard to communicate with someone. So to think about, God, what did you do in my life? What were those moments when I could see you were at work in my life, and then being able to share that with someone else? It's helpful to think through this stuff, and we'll do that on the Wednesday nights a little bit. But this is a great way to be prepared. A great way to be prepared. Find answers to the questions and barriers that people may have. Don't all religions lead to the same God? Why does God allow suffering? And the key question that I'm sure you've wrestled with yourself is, did Adam and Eve have belly buttons? The more that you think about it, the more why is that even a question? No, don't worry about that one. But the other ones, and there's bigger questions than that to ask. People have questions and they have reasons why they've not decided to follow Jesus. And if we've thought through some of those objections and we've thought through how we might answer in a pastorally sensitive way, then we will be better equipped to have that conversation with someone. When I worked in the gym, I had a friend who didn't believe, and we would talk often about things. And his thing was the tectonic plate drift. I was thinking, oh my goodness, right, I've got to work this out. But it's helpful to be equipped. And there's a website here which I've found quite helpful, gotquestions.org. You can type your question in, or you can type a theme in,
and then you can get a question based on the Bible, an answer to that question, and it helps you to be prepared. I've got three books there. One, I don't know if you can see that very well, probably not. The Reason for God by Timothy Keller. It's a little bit older, but it's a good book. It's a good book. The Case for Christ, or we've got The Case for Christmas, we've got The Case for all sorts of things. But Lee Strobel provides some answers to those questions. And I've just read this book, actually. It's well written, but it's a bit more heavyweight. Evangelism in a Skeptical World. And very good book and very helpful insights, which some of which I'll share with you on Wednesday night. But if we can engage with the questions that people are wrestling with, and we can understand what's going on behind those questions, then we can better help answer those questions and help people on their faith journeys. And the final thing is to ask others for help, okay? We're not on our own, not in a trench on our own. Ask someone, ask me, ask someone who you trust. Say, I've got someone, they said this to me and I don't know how to answer it. How might I answer it? And secondly, come along to the evening workshops. Come along, get equipped and prepared. So if that's how you get prepared, Peter also mentions how we should engage with those who ask. And he says, do it with gentleness and respect. You know, I've not met anyone who's become a Christian as a result of an argument. Hey, when you argue with someone, normally both people dig their heels in. It's like a tug of war. You don't think, oh, okay, I'll come your way. You dig your heels in further, and you might even argue with points you don't even fully agree, but you dig your heels in. We're not going to win arguments, but we can show gentleness and respect. And the way of doing that is being willing to listen. I've been out on the streets in Alpington sharing faith with people, and I've been with some people who have been so keen that they don't even want to listen to what the other person says. They're just like, blah, blah, blah. And I've seen the reaction of those people who are like, I don't want to talk to you, and getting frustrated. If you're not willing to listen to someone else, why would they listen to you? Asking good questions and listening to someone else enables you to answer in a helpful way. Last week I was in Alpington on Wednesday with a couple of people from other churches, and we were talking about Jesus, and we got talking to some Irish Catholic travellers, and it was very interesting. We had a great time. But one of the guys mentioned to me, now I won't say, we were in a group of three, and it was clear that two of the people were not going to have a good conversation together. But I got talking to this guy, and he told me about a pilgrimage he was taking his family on. I'd never heard of Medjugorje before, so I asked him. I was interested. I was genuinely interested. I wanted to know about what he was looking for. And we had a good conversation. But if I wasn't willing to listen, we would have got nowhere. And it was clear that there was a desire in him to please God, but there was also a conflict in lifestyle. And it gave me an opportunity to encourage some of the good and to bring a little bit of a challenge to the bad. And we parted ways, and everything was good. But I think gentleness and respect is so important when we have an opportunity to share our faith. If someone feels like they've been heard, they're much more willing to listen to you. What can we expect to happen? Throughout this passage, Peter is teaching these believers how to live out their faith in a hostile world. Verse 13 to 14, he says, "Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed." People will respond in different ways to the message of Jesus. And even your good deeds that you do, some may be hostile. And that's because we're in a spiritual battle. Some will see our good deeds and be respectful. Oh, it's good that you do all that. Oh, it's good that you do the fridge at your church. It's good. Some may ostracize us. Some may treat us differently than others. But Peter encourages the believers that even if they do suffer, they will be blessed by God. That we're living for a different kingdom, aren't we? Jesus said, and we looked at it in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets before you." OK,
Okay, you look through the Bible. It's not all plain sailing. There is persecution. There is those who come against God's purposes. But some will respond. Some will receive the good news. And this is what pushes us out of the comfort zone. Some will recognize the things that they are trusting in for joy and pleasure do not satisfy. They don't satisfy. And they will recognize that they're just crumbling through their fingers. I don't know if you've had that experience and you've gone somewhere nice, or you're looking at a great view and you think, this is amazing. But somehow, there's something about it that's totally dissatisfying as well. Because you feel, I can't quite grab hold of this. I can't quite get this moment. You know, you can take your picture, but I can't quite get hold of it because nothing in this world truly satisfies us like God. Nothing. Some will be plagued from the wrong things they've done. And they will find forgiveness in Jesus' name and hope and joy and peace. Some will be scarred by the things that have been done to them. And they'll find healing in Jesus. Some will come face to face with their self-righteousness, their pride and desire to live differently. We have good news for everybody. We have good news for the world, don't we? And we have great opportunities to share this with the world around us. If you're here today and you think, I want to know a bit more about this Jesus, I encourage you to come and talk to me. We do all Alpha courses as well, which is a great way to look into it. But I want you to think about how you'll respond. If you're a believer in Jesus, how are you going to get yourself prepared? How are you going to get yourself ready for what's before you? Will you join us for two evenings to help get you prepared? 6th and 13th of July. Do you need to sit down this week and write out your testimony? Just write it out. Just draw a picture. If you're a pictorial person, do that. If you're not, write it out. Do you need to look at some common answers to questions? Have you had those conversations with people and you think, everyone says that same thing and I've not looked up the answer? Do you need to do that? I'm going to invite Lydia back, wherever you are, Lydia. I'm going to sing Mighty to Save. I'm going to pray before we do, but this song starts by saying everyone needs compassion. We needed it. And we've enjoyed God's presence this morning, but there's so many people out there who are knocking on those doors. How many people are going to come out who need to know about Jesus, who need to know about this? Lord, we're so grateful for the work of grace and love and mercy that you've done in our lives. But Lord, we recognise that there are many, many who do not know that. They don't know the joy that you provide. They don't know the peace. They're looking for satisfaction in things of the world and it is not satisfying them. Lord, they're plagued by their conscience. And Lord, we want to ask you, would you send us out and would you help us to be prepared to share? To share what you've given us. And we pray, Lord, for a mighty harvest. We pray, Lord, would you save many people? Lord, would there be a great move of God across this nation of many people coming to know you as their Lord and Saviour and knowing the hope that is within us. They know it themselves. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. They stand and sing. And the bridge in this song says, shine your light. And this is a prompt. Shine your light and let the world see. So let's stand and sing.